Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's December 1, 2014, and this is episode 450. When it's not possible to get far away from home to a beautiful location, I love to just take a walk in the park with my macro lens and have some floral fun. Today, I'm going to walk you through a few photos from a recent walk and talk about how I take some of my flower shots to another level. I've already talked about my black and white flower shots in the past, but today, in addition to walking through my thought processes and a few techniques, I'm really thinking about how to make the most of a few hours with the camera when it's not possible to get further afield. For me, this kind of trip helps me to stay productive as a photographer when running the business and other work keeps me behind the desk for too long. Plus, I really do find this kind of photography to be a lot of fun. When I moved apartments 4 years ago in preparation for incorporating Martin Bailey Photography, the reason I looked for a place in the area I live is because it's not far from the Jindai Shokubutsu Koen, which is a botanical garden park. We buy a season ticket each year and often jump in the car and just have a walk around, just a refreshing walk. But when there are some flowers or other natural aspect that is at its peak, I often bring a little more gear. On this particular day, although I had more gear with me, I could have just as easily have brought just my 5D Mark III and my 100mm macro lens, because that's pretty much all I used. I actually didn't bring my diffuser, which I like to use for this sort of photography, because it seems that I've left it somewhere. I've replaced it now though, and I'll talk a little bit about how I use that too as we progress. So let's jump in and start to look at a few photos. First up, this rose, which was actually a violet colour, as we'll see shortly, but I converted this to black and white. As I shoot, I generally know what I'm going to do with an image, and although I like to look at the pretty colours in flowers, I rarely find that the colour is enough of a key element, a key feature, to actually keep it in the photograph. As you may recall from a few of the videos that I've released over the years, such as in episode 297, I like to really reduce the background to almost, and sometimes totally, black, as I've done in this photograph. I just find this much more pleasing, as most of the time I really want to draw the viewer's attention to the beauty of the flower. To explain this better, here's the original photo straight out of the camera. Remember that if you don't have the images, say you're not listening to the Enhanced podcast or something, then you can view these on the website, and I always do recommend you do so because they're much bigger. But go to mbp.ac/450 and view the images on the website when you can. Now, for sure, this is a beautifully coloured rose, and the balls of bokeh and the reflections are nice, you know, behind in the background. But as I shot it, I knew that both of these elements had to go. The beauty of shooting images like this is that Silver Effects works with colour and tones. So because the colour, the flower is a different colour and, you know, tone to the background, I can easily reduce the darkness of the background with just a few strategically placed control points. Again, see my previous videos to see how to do this if you aren't aware of the techniques or technology. Maybe it's just me, but I really just find the black and white simplified version much more aesthetically pleasing. And although I find myself quietly apologizing to the people that worked so hard to create a rose of this color, when I search for a flower to photograph, I'm much more interested in finding flowers without many blemishes. This one actually had a bit of a rotting petal just showing on the bottom to the left of the foreground bud, but I can kind of live with that, and didn't feel it necessary to clone out, especially as it's reduced to a small spot in the black and white version. One technique that I'd like to mention before we move on is that I had my wife hold my hat to the top right of the frame for this photo to stop the sunlight from directly hitting the flower. It was a clear day with full sun, but that creates way too much contrast for a pleasing photograph. So I generally block it out if the sun's hitting the flower directly. If you're in the shade, you're already good. Having lost my old diffuser, I've just bought something similar to what you can see on B&H as the Lastalite Tri-Flip. And this is an 8-in-1 triangular reflector, with the base layer being a translucent diffuser. You just hold the diffuser between the light source, the sun in this case, and the flower, to reduce the light hitting the subject. I was totally blocking out the light with my hat, well, my wife was, but a diffuser is better because it allows a soft white light to shine through, which is really pleasing. The tri-flip also comes with a gold and silver, a couple of gold and silver shades, and a black reflector as well. And obviously the black isn't reflecting, but we'll talk later a little bit about how that can be used. I find it really easy to use in the field though, because they're triangular and they have a handle that really helps to hold them in position. Sometimes, of course, the colour does add a lot to the photograph, and although I could go either way on this next image, I feel that the pink is worth keeping. This wasn't a large rose, but I just got in close enough to fill the frame. This time, I believe I was able to just position myself so that I was creating my own shadow to avoid any nasty high contrast. Apart from the next photo that we'll look at today, all of the other images were shot at f4, which is really gives a beautiful shallow depth of field when focusing this close with a macro lens. That was by choice, of course. I really like the softness created with this aperture, and as you can see here, I'm just careful to ensure that the focus falls on the critical part of the flower. This varies by subject, but here, because the top of the petals is in sharp focus, we can allow the rest of the rose to go soft and it still looks beautiful. Also for this shot, I reduced the clarity slider in Lightroom to minus 55, and then with the adjustment brush, I painted plus 37 clarity back in along the top edges of the petals center in the center of the frame. This is an easy way to enhance the softness of an image, but still keep the critical sharpness where necessary. I like to use plugins and I don't mind jumping into Photoshop when necessary, but these options force me to create a new TIFF or a PSD file. So when I can make this kind of simple tweak in Lightroom, I like to do this, as it's done on the original RAW file. In this next image, I once again took the background to almost total black. It's actually zone 1 in the zone system, not totally black. I checked this in Silver Effects during my conversion, and again, we've touched on that in previous videos, so I won't go into this today. The point that I wanted to make with this flower, once again, requires that we look at the original photo here. You can see that there are splashes of pink in what was an almost totally white flower in the black and white version. To achieve this, I just dropped a control point over the pink areas in Silver Effects Pro and increased the brightness. This basically turns the pink to white. And then once I've changed that first spot, I held the Alt key while dragging the control point to the next spot. and repeated until I'd whitened them all out. It was probably a 20-second job in total. There are a couple of bits of texture left, but I like the look, and it really is easy to achieve once you're used to making this kind of photograph. Again, because the background is just shades of green, it was also very easy to just take them down to almost black. After spending an hour or so in the Rose Garden, we walked around to an area of the park where they have a wide range of dahlia flowers at this time of year. Here, once again, after the black and white conversion, I reduced the clarity of the entire image in Lightroom and then brushed back in some of the clarity over the center of the flower to enhance the overall softness, but then to really draw the attention to the center of the flower. I like this one because I feel that the image can be read in a number of ways. If I want to see the softness and the beauty of the flower, it's right there. But because of the sharpness on the center petals, I can almost imagine this being the teeth of a piranha fish or an alien mouth shooting out from the center of the flower. I don't necessarily want you to see that in the photo, but I always find it fun when I can read multiple meanings from a single photograph. Next up, let's take a look at the original image first. Again, this is a dahlia plant or dahlia plant, and I was continuing to look for specimens without blemishes and keeping my eye out for a nice clear background. I wanted to quickly mention here that with the diffuser that I mentioned earlier, you can also use a black cover and you hold it behind the flower to almost create your black background right there in the camera. That does take away the option of leaving some texture in, as I did in the conversion that we'll do for this photograph, but this is an option that I wanted to mention as I do sometimes use that technique. I'm sure that, especially with this photo, you will agree that it's a very plain, boring image in colour. Here, though, is the black and white version. Do make sure that you click on this image to view it large on the blog, because even in the larger web size, the texture is worth looking at. It just blows me away in this photo. Again, this was shot at f4, and because I was now in the shade as the sun was almost on the horizon at the end of the day, the ISO was up at 1000 for a shutter speed of 250th of a second. I like to keep the shutter speed up because the flowers were blowing around a little in the breeze, so I was timing my shots during the moments of stillness, but still, they were often not totally still. Because of the centralized composition, I could of course flip this over for a horizontal photograph, or easily crop down to a 4:5 aspect ratio, or even a square crop. I did leave a little bit of texture in the background in this particular image though, as I think it works and enhances the texture in the dahlia. This next image is actually a tighter composition of the same flower, which I also like a lot. None of these images have been cropped in post. These are the compositions right out of the camera. I've named these two images Dahlia No. 2 and Dahlia No. 3, kind of as homage to Edward Weston, as I can't help feeling a little bit nostalgic about this look, and dare I say, they kind of remind me of Pepper No. 30. Which is a photograph that probably had a lot of influence over my appreciation of black and white still lifes. Let's take a look at one last image, which is another that was really all about the colour, so it stayed that way. I called this image Dahlia on Fire because the petals really felt like flames. Once again, I softened the image slightly with the clarity slider in Lightroom and then added clarity back on some of the flames with the adjustment brush. But otherwise, this is pretty much straight out of the camera too. I know that this is just accepted now and really not worth raising, but looking through my images from this shoot, I was reminded of just how empowering digital has been to the modern photographer. I shot at 5 different ISOs, ranging from 400 to 1250, and both colour and black and white. I'd have had to change film at least 6 times to create the 7 images that we've looked at today, and although I generally know when I'm going to convert to black and white, and when I'm not, having the ability to decide this later is totally liberating. I know that I'm probably showing my age now, as many of the listeners have never shot film, but sometimes these are things that I just think about. So, as I've mentioned at the start of this episode, I really wanted to talk about this today, both to introduce a few theories and techniques that may not have been obvious, but also because I really do find it important to keep options like this simple afternoon in a local park in mind when you have some time, but maybe not enough time to venture further afield. There was a time when this was one of my main focuses, and venturing further afield would have actually been taking a visit to a park just like this. But now I generally want to go further, spending more time on my photography. But that simply isn't always possible for a variety of reasons. Most of us, though, are happy when we have a camera in our hands, so this is a welcome break in an otherwise busy life, and I, for one, really enjoy this kind of casual shooting. I hope that you agree, too, that the results can be worth it. Having sat on some of these images for a week or two now, a couple of weeks, I will be adding some of these to my flowers portfolio and probably making some of them available for sale as prints and adding them to my stock photography library as well. So my enjoyable few hours in the park turned out to be quite productive. Of course, photographing flowers may not be your idea of a relaxing afternoon. Maybe you're a street photographer and need to identify a few local spots that you enjoy to shoot, or a portrait photographer that needs a model friend or two that you can call upon from time to time. Whatever your medicine, I know that this kind of casual shoot can be very satisfying and fulfilling, so I hope that you already have a few of these up your sleeve, or are able to find some to feed your soul in the short pockets of time that are sometimes all we have. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share a link with your friends, and if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter and Facebook, etc., and links to everything that I'm up to are at the top page of martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.